Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another News in Focus program coming to you from sunny Fayetteville, North Carolina, on the second day of March in the year 2014. The time is 7:53 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm sitting in my office, just minutes away from starting our 2014 Missions Conference with missionaries from North Africa, Japan, Mexico, and New England, all present with us. They will speak to the people of Berean at the combined Sunday school and in evening services, and we will webcast all those messages, and we will upload them to Sermon Audio, a ministry for which we are very thankful here. There are two articles, or an article and a YouTube video, that I want to bring to your attention on Sermon Audio this morning. And I've got the YouTube video converted to audio so that you can listen to it for yourself. I'll speak to you about that in just a moment. This past Monday, I had jury duty. And during that jury duty, as we were waiting to determine whether we would in fact be selected for a court case, it was my pleasure to spend some time with a brother in Christ I very rarely get to see because of busy schedules, and he attends another church. I've known him for 25 years, and he is a faithful man by the name of Dennis. During our hours of conversation, Dennis shared with me his salvation testimony and his father's salvation testimony. And this morning, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what Paul describes in Romans 1:16 when he writes to the church at Rome, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile," or to the Greek. Dennis Usher's dad has an amazing salvation testimony. It is a testimony of the power of the gospel to take a man who was, for all accounts, a gambling alcoholic and turn him into a lifelong follower of Christ. And it would be a good News in Focus program, or it would be good podcast to bring Dennis into the office and perhaps his dad someday. I don't know if that would even be possible. But as I listened to him communicate the change of life that he saw in his father, I was reminded of the power of the gospel. Then this morning on Sermon Audio, as I was browsing the stories that are available to report on, there was a story from Wheaton College concerning a discussion of homosexuality, which I don't even want to go into this morning. That's not the point of bringing to your attention this article. Instead, there is a Dr. Butterfield. She is a female. She is a self-described leftist lesbian professor who despised Christians until she was converted. And she spoke at Wheaton College concerning the power of the gospel and her former life and her present life. I know, and perhaps I'm not alone, maybe you're like me, I know sometimes I lose heart in the power of the gospel to convert souls. I forget about Paul's amazing testimony. I forget about the changed life I saw in my father in the middle of the 1970s. I forget about the stories of my good friend Dennis's father's conversion. I forget about the fact that there are former homosexuals, former racists, former murderers, former rebels, idolaters, sinners like myself, who found in the gospel of Jesus Christ a power that they and I had previously not known. We forget about the power of the gospel. To move from a leftist lesbian professor to a heterosexual, conservative, evangelical who's speaking in some of the most conservative Christian colleges across the United States is testimony that the gospel is powerful. And Dr. Butterfield's testimony can be found on this article's website, and perhaps it's worthy of a separate podcast. But for now, I just want to remind you that the gospel converts souls. Now, the next audio that I'm going to turn on for you in just a moment to enjoy, and I'll bid you a goodbye, is an interview with Peter Hitchens. Peter Hitchens, that's H-I-T-C-H-E-S. Now, Hitchens, that name should ring a bell for you, for you should probably think of Christopher Hitchens. Christopher Hitchens is a famous atheist who is, or maybe an agnostic atheist or agnostic. I'm not sure how he would describe himself. I think he's comfortable with atheists. But in any case, he is a hater of Christians. He's a hater of God. Although he says that God doesn't exist, he demonstrates a hate for that which he believes does not exist. Peter is his brother. Who is an English journalist and author. He's published 6 books, including the The Rage Against God is the book that I want to focus on. The War We Never Fought, the British Establishment Surrender to Drugs, Abolition of Britain. All right, so The Rage Against God, The Rage Against God by Peter Hitchens, brother of Christopher Hitchens. And then the subtitle is, again, The Rage Against God. I can't read the subtitle. Let me see if I can magnify that for you for just a moment here. See if it comes up. Having trouble? Just give me another second here. Very, very tiny print. I'm sorry, I can't read that subtitle. But The Rage Against God is the title of the book. And Peter was an atheist. He describes in the interview a Baptist grandfather and then becoming an atheist and then discovering God and more specifically Christ and even more specifically the power of the gospel. So let me stop talking and let you listen to this interview with Peter Hitchens, and may you be encouraged on this Sunday morning to remind yourself, to stir up within you a confidence in the power of the gospel. And let me add one final note. It is the interview that you're about to listen to occurred prior to the death of Peter's brother in 2011. So this is not new news, but it is a reminder of the power of the gospel.
They have been dubbed the Battling Hitchens Brothers, Peter and Christopher. The battling is over God and faith. Christopher, a very outspoken atheist and an American citizen, has written God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. His brother Peter, a famous columnist for the London Mail on Sunday, a former atheist and one-time Marxist revolutionary, has just written The Rage Against God, How Atheism Led Me to Faith. Peter Hitchens says the book was written as a continuation of a public debate he's had with his brother, the American journalist and outspoken atheist, Christopher Hitchens. When I sat down with Peter, I learned that the Hitchens brothers' grandfather was a devout Baptist.
He was a very strict Baptist. His wife, my paternal grandmother, whom I never knew, was an Anglican of a very Protestant type, and it was an extremely religiously conscious household.
Peter described relations between the two brothers as not very warm. This interview took place before it was announced that Christopher has developed cancer.
How would you describe your relationship with your brother Christopher?
I think it's typical of quite a lot of younger, older brother relations. We don't get on particularly well.
You fought a lot as children.
Oh, lots and lots, yeah.
And they're still fighting. Peter has suggested that Christopher spends so much time debating and attacking religion because he's actually a repressed seeker. Christopher denies it.
Do you ever have private conversations with Christopher about faith?
I don't think I could be bothered to discuss it with him in private, to be honest. I don't think I get anything different from what I get in public.
in your book, you sound somewhat hopeless.
I express the hope in the book that he'll just stop assuming that religion poisons everything and that everybody who believes in God is stupid. I don't ask for any more. You can. There's a difficulty. If you take a public position, a very public position, then you brick yourself up in a tower, and it's got arrow slits instead of windows. You can chuck missiles out of it, but you can't get out yourself.
When you were an atheist, did you ever have doubts about atheism?
Not for a long time, no. We were armored against... We were full of our own righteousness. We knew what was right. We knew we were right. We knew we were good. We defined our own goodness.
You wrote that as an atheist, you didn't have any Christian friends, and you didn't want any.
Well, I wouldn't have wanted any. I found the whole thing repellent.
Why?
There's a lot of scorn in revolutionary socialism. There's a lot of feeling that you are the vanguard, you are the people who know best, and that everybody else is ignorant and stupid. And you see that scorn very strongly in the new atheists and the way in which they treat their opponents, not with any kind of respect at all. They still act as if Christianity is a kind of stupid aberration that only an idiot could follow.
Although Peter Hitchens has returned to Christ, Britain largely has not. Church attendance is low, and atheists have even conducted public campaigns against faith.
It sounded in your book like you're afraid it may already be too late for a revival of Christianity in Britain.
I think that's probably so. I think it probably is too late. I'm not allowed to despair, but if I were allowed to, I would. It's gone a long way. Christianity has been very badly damaged here. To the extent that huge numbers of people don't really know anything about it at all, who don't know the Bible stories, who've never opened a Bible, been inside a church, have no conception of what Christianity is or means.
How do you feel about having led others to become atheists?
It's my fault. It's one of those things for which there is, it seems to me, no real path back.
In his book, Hitchens says his return to Christianity was a process over many years. But he does write about a moment in his journey back to faith, when, as an atheist, he genuinely feared God. It was when he gazed at Roger van der Weyden's painting, The Last Judgment, which shows the terror on the faces of those condemned to hell.
They'd obviously just heard the last trump, and one of them was actually vomiting with fright. And it just came through that I might be judged, and I was scared. I still am. One of my reasons for the change in my view of this is that I am scared. But then again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Dale Hurd, CBN News, London.